This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Yes. All right. Maya Mackey wanted to make an appearance here. Emerging from her normal nap time right now to come in and say hi.
Yeah. Hi, Maya. Who's a good girl? We love dogs.
All right. We're gonna say goodbye now. Okay.
Hi, Maya.
Nope. Pause the shirt.
This
is where the wired headphones.
Yep. And now she's going to rip those right out.
There we go. Let's go over here.
There you go.
Okay. Good girl.
Who's a good girl?
Who's a good girl?
Who's a good girl?
Oh, look at these. I see these negative comments. My prediction is they won't be live for another 5 minutes. Ha ha. Ha ha. We're live right now on the Score North YouTube channel for a little Minnesota sports with Mackie and Judd Feedback Friday. Let's dive in here, boys. A lot of good Twins comments here from people.
Nice.
Excited about the Royce Lewis era, which is three games, two big time high leverage home runs earlier this week, and then the game tire last night. And Steve G says, "All right, enough is enough with the Twins pocket protectors like you and Judd are acting like. Declan is 100% right. Give up the farm for Shohei Ohtani. For 20 years, I've heard buddies lecture me about how great minor league prospects are Hicks, Revere, Myers, May, Sano, Buxton, and so on. There's not a prospect since Maurer that should have been untouchable. In July, if this team appears good enough to make a run, take the risk. To quote one of the best lines in a movie, losers always whine about their best. Winners go home and F the prom queen. Declan is in search of the prom queen."
Whoa.
Well, Declan is happily engaged, so just want to throw that out there, okay? Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good time here again to check in. Another game-changing home run from Royce Lewis last night. Would you trade 6 years of Royce Lewis for 2 months of Shohei Ohtani?
Yes. Still a yes. 100% a yes. This has not changed one bit for me. Royce Lewis, magical moment last night. Very Kirby Puckett-esque, if you will, from... I saw floating around, but yes.
Are you talking
about the best baseball player you've ever seen that can do things that no one's ever done before, basically, in 100 years? Yes. Give me Shohei Ohtani every time. Every time. Not even close.
I can't decide which take is worse. The Purple Daily take from today where Declan ranked the Mall of America above Duluth in terms of Minnesota sightseeing.
The Duluth take is worse.
If you're flying
for
in
6 years of Royce Lewis, who by the way, a couple things here, okay? And I love Shohei Ohtani, but the Angels have Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout and still can't get to the playoffs 6 straight years. And right now, they would not be in the playoffs this year either. So, like, you can't just put Shohei Ohtani on any team and make the playoffs. You need other good players. Is it a hot take to suggest that Royce Lewis right now is the Twins' best player? If it's not him, who is the Twins' best player right now?
Kirilloff, I think. Okay. Right now, I love Kirilloff. But yes, but I mean, he is an impact player who brings intangibles that this club lacks. So yeah, I would not, for a few months of Ohtani, I would not do that. No, but the Duluth take is way worse.
That's fine. It's been a terrible take since
the first day you said it.
I'm not going to go down the path anymore, the Duluth take. I've made my feelings very clear that that foot's in the ground. But here's also the problem with the logic of the 6 years thing, because I actually agree with the listener here. How many times have we fallen the trap of, oh, yeah, man, that top prospect hits his true ceiling and you can control him for 6 years. I'll just wait what they can do in year 4, 5, and 6 with them. I've been waiting 20 years. I've seen prospects fail. If you have a chance to get a generational player and it's Royce Lewis as the centerpiece, I'm still going to do that every time.
But I would argue that the guys you're talking about, this is like before they emerge into the major league. So Brooks Lee? Who's the other guy? Brooks Lee, right?
Yep. He's the top prospect.
It's a great baseball name.
Very good baseball player.
Yep.
Could see that being a golf name too. But like he's a theory because he hasn't played a big league game. He's never even played at AAA. He's barely played. He's played like what, a few dozen AA games or something. So yeah, yes, I would trade someone that hasn't yet climbed the way up to the big leagues. And it's a small sample size, but Royce Lewis in the small sample size has been an electric Major League Baseball player. So to me, it would totally forget about even like the last 5 years of him. This season, if you want to win a playoff game or win a series or whatever your goal is, you need more than just Shohei Ohtani, as the Angels have proven for 6 years in running. So we're going to keep asking this question after each clutch Royce Lewis home run.
But wouldn't you say the same thing of if don't the Twins also need more than just Royce Lewis to win a playoff game then?
Of course.
Right. But then want the more superior player who can pitch and hit and do it even better than Royce Lewis?
No, I want to keep Royce Lewis and get other players that can elevate the team.
It's also a possibility. But I'm just saying, Ohtani, I'm still signing me up for it. Trade Royce Lewis, I'm cool with it.
Okay. All right. Trying to see what people... Is Declan off his meds again?
I haven't medicated in a long, long time.
He is lashing out, though, and he will stand by this take until Royce Lewis, I don't know what happens. Okay, Richard Benson says, am I starting to see the young nucleus of a very good ball club emerge in Minnesota? Names like Lewis, Kirilloff, Joe Ryan, Duran, Varland. What do you think? I mean, are they now that Lewis is up and Kirilloff, those guys are, of course, just made of glass, it seems like, physically with the wrist and the knees, but... Right. As long as they're playing in the lineup right now, are we starting to see a pretty interesting young nucleus here?
I think interesting is a fair word, but I also think that it's paramount that we express caution in the fact that we have gotten excited before about guys, hot starts and playing well. I think we need to give it more time. I'm pretty convinced that Joe Ryan is damn good, okay? I think Royce is. I don't know for sure yet. And on Kirilloff and Royce Lewisville, your point is spot on. Like, until they can actually play consistently and prove that they're not Byron Buxton 2.0, we don't know. So, yes, I think that there's reason for excitement as far as, oh, my gosh, this might be good, but I'm not buying in yet. We've seen this cautionary tale. Buxton, you know what? To a certain point, Sano, who didn't get hurt as much, but Miguel Sano came up in, July of 2015 and was phenomenal, looked great at the plate, looked like he actually had a plan, and somewhere along the way lost his way, and as far as I know right now he is unemployed. So you do have to, not to pour just a huge bucket of cold water on this entire conversation, but I will, you do have to exercise some caution here, and I feel like that's especially true in baseball.
All right, now I'm just going through the comments here on YouTube. The tide is starting to turn in the favor of Declan here. Mike J. chimes in, says, you guys complain about the Twins not making the big move. Declan says, do it now, and you don't agree with this. Are Judd and I, are we being hypocrites here?
What's the trade then? Like right now, we've talked about this previously. Is it Royce Lewis for Ohtani straight up?
The Twins, by the way, would say no to this. So this is not a move that the Twins would
but play. By the way, I would talk about this more now. It was previously, I think, in my world, Brooks Lee, Royce Lewis, more prospects. So if we're saying straight up, I would at least consider that. But here's the issue. It needs to bring you pretty much a World Series.
But you can't guarantee that.
I know you can't. That's my problem.
It's baseball, too. It's like in the NBA... Although the Suns found out that it doesn't guarantee anything in the NBA too, because they sold a bunch of their future pieces for Kevin Durant. But like, it's more likely in a sport like basketball where you add the one guy, you bring LeBron James into the Miami Heat, you're probably going to win titles. That's not how it works in baseball. So there would be no guarantees.
Throw up Wade Gustafson's comment, because I completely disagree here.
Look at Judd directing. I love directing the YouTube production.
Cliff Lee, this
camera
is...
Camera four. We're going to start 3, 2, 1. Bob. Zoom in a little bit there.
Camera five. Take green screen. Take green screen.
What are you guys doing? You guys all suck. This is... Okay, Cliff Lee was Aaron Hicks at the time, right? And the Twins were like, we can't... I don't think we were ever as high on Hicks, Phil. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I think you were on the beat at the time. Mm-hmm. I don't think we were ever high on Hicks. Again, I think he was more of a theory The one thing that you could say, though, straight up trade Ohtani for Royce is this. Royce Lewis, still a relatively very young man, has torn his ACL up twice. The one thing you could say is if we can do this straight up, we are
Frank
banking.
Declan.
Point we are technique. Banking on the fact that, unfortunately, we think his knee is never going to fully recover.
That would to me, like, that's a more logical. All right. If Declan had been using that in his arsenal here, saying, I don't think his knee's going to hold up for 6 years. I think this is fool's gold. Get out of this before he explodes. Right. Same with Kirilov. I don't think his wrist is going to hold up. I will listen on that. Like, that is a logical. It's the Brandon Roy thing in the NBA. The Timberwolves decided on draft day, we're going to trade Brandon Roy for Randy Foy. Not necessarily because we think Foy's a better player or prospect than Roy. We think Roy's knees are a ticking time bomb. Now, Brandon Roy was really good for like 3 or 4 years, and then his career was over. And it's funny because the Wolves actually landed him later when he couldn't jump over a phone book.
Couldn't walk, basically.
And he played a handful of games. But yeah, like if you were to say, I just straight up don't think his knees physically are going to hold up in about 3 years from now, then I would say, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just tired of waiting for windows. I'm waiting, tired of waiting for prospects. I want to see a damn championship. And if that means that the Twins are bad again, like horrible for 10 years, I'm cool with trading
right,
away.
But that's an emotionally driven take. It's not like it's not rooted in logic or strategy. It's just
Why does everything have to be a mathematical take? Why does everything have to be a complete scientific mathematical take?
It doesn't, but I'm speaking on behalf of like, what would a front office do? And you're saying, I'm pissed about the last 20 years, trade Royce Lewis, get me Ohtani. That's the difference in what we're talking about here, which is fine. Like, that's fine. You can ship 6 years of one of the best players in franchise history, potentially for a shot in the dark run for 3 months for Shohei Ohtani, but it is rooted in 20 years of anger, emotion, and sadness, or you know, whatever the Twins have brought you the last two decades, which is not much.
I thought Judd had something to say there.
Nope. Hi, no. This is a show. We're live.
I was waiting.
On the
I was waiting for Declan to respond. I feel like this is your guy's problem. This is your guy's thing. I am dealing, for the first time, I am like the logical. I can just sit back and say, you know what? There are concerns here. It's an intriguing talk. I love the discussion, but I'm not really passionate about this one.
Jared,
but I've seen two World Series titles.
Jared, okay. That's the next layer we need. I love how Judd just came in with the, I don't care what you guys are talking about, because
I know I do care.
I saw World Series 30 years ago.
But Declan is dealing from a very different point. I'm being truthful here. You and Declan, and especially Dex, you are dealing from very different points than me. Like Declan Declan's the 18 game playoff losing streak is basically his lifetime.
Oh, I guess. Absolutely. By the way, Jared says Declan doesn't understand stats, which is not true. I will defend you there. His takes are alcohol and emotion fueled.
What's wrong with that?
That might be true. The first part, Declan does understand stats. It's just
cold brew coffee, by the way. And it's an empty stomach. So maybe it's caffeine on empty stomach takes that are being fueled here, too.
That's fine, though. Your takes are, that's fine.
It's amazing.
Definitely emotionally based. They definitely are.
Yes.
But I don't blame you in some ways. You are nothing but, as far as a sports fan, you unfortunately are a loser.
Wow.
No, no, I'm saying your life is revolved around loving teams that lose. No, yeah. I'm not trying to put you down.
No, it's
like
it's,
I get your contempt. You're 30 years old, so you're not like young. You're not old, but you're not a young man, and you have basically been surrounded by disappointment.
Yeah, and there's a bunch. And I feel like a bunch of people, especially those watching on YouTube every day, are kind of in that age range where,
yeah,
you've seen just garbage. You've seen. It is still kind of amazing to me. Nationally, people don't understand that the Twins have lost 18 consecutive playoff games. And I feel that same rage and emotion and everything, too. So I feel that. But it's like if you were to ask someone in Chicago or like Mike Greenberg at ESPN or Stephen A. Smith or someone, hey, who's the most pathetic playoff franchise right now in professional sports? And they would say teams like the Boston Celtics because they haven't won a championship yet. Or they would, you know, they would say the Buffalo Bills for not getting past the Chiefs in the AFC. You'd be breaking the news to them that the Minnesota Twins, since George W. Bush's first administration, have lost 18 consecutive playoff games. I've seen people, even like younger fans on Twitter and stuff like, when is the last time the Twins won a playoff series? No, 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 no. They haven't won a playoff game in 18 tries since 2004. So I do, this is where I do empathize with Declan on that side. But like when you're making a move for a big player, like you do have to include some sort of rationale or logic or
But the restraint. Poor guy, the four teams that he follows probably the closest, nobody has come with a salve to be like, here's a championship, kid. The Vikings haven't been to a Super Bowl since I was 7. And Dex, you were born 93?
92.
Okay, like think about that. So 15 years. Their last Super Bowl, you were even born 15 years. The Wolves have been nothing but a cluster. And the Wild went to the conference championship in 2003 or conference final and haven't been back since. So, like, I get the angst. I get the irrational, alcohol-fueled angst that exists for you poor people. I get you. That's why I'm sports dad.
Or Boomer Judd is what Jeff is calling you here. Boomer Judd.
Being a boomer, really, though. I'm not being
Well, you're Gen X Judd, right?
Yeah. No, but I mean, I don't think I'm being an old man grump here. I think I'm saying that I sympathize.
Dude. Mike J keeps bringing it here. Mike J loves Declan, hates us. At least Declan is not a sociopath.
Are you sure about that, Mike J?
I'm not a sociopath, no.
Okay.
I think if you rank the three of us based on like how sociopathic are we, I think Declan would rank higher than maybe Mike J thinks.
I get the actual definition of sociopath.
Judd's number one. Judd like ignores people he knows at the grocery store. It's a battle between me and Dex for who's the next biggest sociopath.
The first sentence, antisocial personality disorder, sometimes called a sociopath, is a mental health condition in which a person consistently shows no regard for right and wrong and ignores the rights and feelings of others.
Well, the right and wrong. Well, right and wrong. Judd has a conscience.
Yeah, I've got a big conscience. But I mean, yeah. And look, if we do an event, you know, I talk to folks. It's great. It's a great time. Do I seek them out? No. Like, I don't go out.
If it's a home game for you. If it's a home game for you and they come into your stadium.
Yeah, but I mean,
you're very welcoming.
But do I go around trying to have folks say, hey, Judd, what's going on? No, I don't. You know why? Because they're doing their own thing. So am I.
GA007. So these are the sociopathic rankings. He's saying Judd number one, Declan two, and then I am. Thank you.
I think that's accurate, actually.
I am the least sociopathic person on the show.
Yes, I think Declan's definitely second.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. Oh, man. Wow. All right, let's keep going here on Feedback Friday.
Great.
Let's see. Where do we want to go next? Jonathan Leonard says, Pablo Lopez, before signing $20 million per year contract, 5 starts, 1.35 ERA. Pablo Lopez, since signing his $20 million per year contract, 8 starts, a 6.15 ERA. What gives? Does a big money contract cause complacency? I mean, small sample size, but it would appear yes in this case.
And you know what, too? So it did feel very Twins-like, though, right? Like, okay, you're off to a great start. Your eyes trade's working. Here's a big contract. And then it's like, bang. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, well, let's give him a few more starts here, but
there's a lot of time left. It could go, well, I mean, and it could go south more. Who knows?
It may be on our Jerry Maguire review today. Very similar vein there with a certain player or certain actor, I should say, in that movie.
Yes. That's a great list. So we're doing Jerry Maguire on the Movie Rewinds podcast later today. So definitely there's going to be some takes being slung around for that. Let's see here. Jack Tobin says, hey, guys, enjoy the show. Asking you honestly, how important do you think batting average is to baseball in 2023? The older baseball fans treat it like gospel, and they trash guys like Joey Gallo, but praise Donovan Solano, Donnie Barrels, because Solano has a higher batting average. When I went to the comments of the Write That Down video from you guys this week, there was some pushback when you guys were talking about OPS and people still mad at the Arise trade because his batting average is very high and very impressive. So teams don't look at batting average as gospel like they did maybe 30 years ago, certainly 50 years ago. Teams look at OPS a little bit, but more specifically, this is going to get really nerdy here for a second. So
get those nerds! Nerds!
Nerds! Teams look at weighted on base average internally, which is OPS properly weighing on base percentage versus slugging percentage. So the value of getting on base is a little bit more, it's worth more than getting a higher slugging percentage, for instance. So Luis Arraez, though, is kind of a bad example because he leads batting average. He also leads the entire league in on-base percentage.
Yes.
So get on base, and if batting average is a conduit for you to get on base, awesome. If walks are, awesome.
Right.
And then the slugging percentage aspect is get hits in chunks of bases. Don't just be a singles hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, batting average isn't irrelevant, but it's part of a bigger piece of pie that includes walks and power and all these other things. That's my take on it.
No, and I mean, a guy like Gallo is going to hit what ideal or not. He's probably going to hit about 210, but he's going to hit a ton of bombs. And so, yeah, he's fine. I think it's more telling when you have guys and your expectation is something and then they don't deliver on both sides of that. So like, and I don't fault them. In fact, I think, Phil, we got into a debate about this a couple of days ago. Buxton's batting average is not great, but some of his other stats are. Unfortunately, you know, since he, I think, got hurt against the Dodgers, all of those stats have come down.
Mm-hmm.
So are you helping your team? Are you doing what you can do? The Arise trade, to me, is intriguing because I liked him a lot, and I think he takes great at-bats, okay? But getting good starting pitching, and we can debate this, but getting what you consider to be good starting pitching is really hard to.
Mike J chimes in here real quick as we try to portray credible opinions about baseball and anything. He does remind the audience that Mackey and Judd us to outbid Denver for Russell Wilson a year ago. Don't forget about that.
Let me tell you right now, though, Russell Wilson was sent to fail. Nathaniel Hackett was a complete joke of a coach. He was awful, okay? If Russell Wilson with Sean Payton, who's a damn good offensive mind, has a bad year, then that is exactly right. But until that happens,
if he explodes, then we can revisit. We're still right until proven wrong by Sean Payton.
Well, I'm just saying Hackett was a complete buffoon.
Yeah.
Was he not?
Jack Valentine says, breaking news, Shannon Sharp joins Score North.
That ain't no problem.
Just go fight Shannon Sharp every day. Where's he gonna wind up?
Going? Yeah, that's what I was
so he's leaving about. Skip Bayless. Go to ESPN.
I don't think
there's only really one other place to.
I don't think they have a lot of room.
Start your own thing.
He doesn't fit the Meadowlark creator, so I don't know where he would go.
Or you think
he
would
McAfee?
Well, I could see him. I could see him being part of the rotation. Now he probably wants a full time thing. But Stephen A. Smith brings in like Mad Dog once a week, brings in Michael Irvin during football season. I can see Shannon Sharp and Stephen A. Smith going at it. Shout out, by the way, to our friends over at Power Lodge. So, man, the weather has just been, it did rain a little bit this week, but just amazing weather to get out and about. Some throttle therapy as we talk about all of our Minnesota sports angst here. What better way to get rid of it than going to Power Lodge, going to Miller Marine, getting into a Bennington pontoon and letting all of your troubles fade away.
And look at that right there. Out on the lake. It's gorgeous. You know what? Probably has Mackie and Judd on or PD. Just relaxed. And here's the thing, too, right? What do we talk about all winter long? We talk about why do we live here, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to tell you right now, this is why we live here. For summers, for going out on the pontoon, the Bennington, it makes it all worthwhile. And right now, that Bennington could be yours. What a deal.
Yes. Also, speaking of having fun on gadgets, right? So EcoFun, two stores to shop at in the metro area, Forest Lake off 35, just west of 97, and Burnsville off 35W. So one north, one south. You can get into all sorts of fun things. Scooters from 49cc up to 300cc in stock, ready to ride. Also, youth ATVs and dirt bikes, too, if you want to get something fun for the kids this these summer months. So, again, EcoFunMotorsports.com, or just stop in to the Forest Lake location or the Burnsville location, EcoFunMotorsports.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Joe Mers, I'll be 60 years old this summer. I'm a longtime suffering Minnesota sports fan for the last 32 years. I do remember watching with my dad and older brother the Vikings' four Super Bowl losses. By the time we got to the third one, it seemed like we were just waiting for something bad to happen. And that's pretty much how it's felt ever since with all Minnesota sports teams. Mm-hmm. 120 men's professional seasons combined of the four major teams. Not one championship since Kirby and the Twins. Not one championship series or game appearance either, by the way. We used to get into championships, and then we struggled to get into the semifinals, and now we can't even win a playoff game or series. What the hell is going on here? I mean,
I wish I could answer. That's the question, right? Like, that's the question that even Sports Dad can't answer. I don't know. It's ridiculous. We have every men's major sport. How does somebody not stumble their way at least to a final?
It's funny, like, I think Declan retweeted something this week where some Dallas fans were like, oh, gosh, it's been so long. I mean, the dynasty in the 90s, you had a dynasty in the 90s, okay?
Well, and the 70s, and your damn Stars won the Stanley Cup in 99, and the Mavericks have been to finals.
Mavericks won the championship like 10 years ago. You guys need to calm down in Dallas. Well,
and how about Boston? Oh, the Celtics and Bruins, it was brutal. It ripped our heart out. Yeah. Bleep you.
That guy also responded to the Score North tweet that put out that tweet saying, well, Dallas-Fort Worth is a bigger media market, so we have higher expectations for that, which is to
me. We're trying. What? Score North is trying with our expectations.
He did say, I appreciate you crediting me, though. He gave me a nice, I did credit him in the tweet, so that was important. It wasn't just ripping people off, like they like to say the clickbait officer likes to do, which I sometimes do.
Mitch Johnson says, has the idea ever been brought up of the curse of Big Poppy? Hold on a second. Oh, never mind. Judd's texting us something that was meant for his wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
About taking her to work. And so I accidentally texted you guys.
Okay. Both. Sorry. But there was an emergency.
To text her. No, there's no emergency. No, I just texted. I got to take Dawn to work. And, I got some time left. And I was just trying to say, I'll be upset.
So we'll wrap this soon here so we can get on our way. But
7 good minutes left.
Okay. Well, we'll bring in home strong here. Has the idea ever been brought up of the curse of Big Poppy when so we have talked about this before on the old radio show.
Yep.
That the Twins have done basically the Twins playoff losing streak coincides with saying goodbye to Big Poppy. Now they did win a playoff game in 03 and 04, but they have not won a playoff series since. Not even trading, just flat out releasing David Ortiz. Mm-hmm. And I have long contested that, like, the curse of Babe Ruth, at least the Red Sox got like $100,000 for selling Babe Ruth to the Yankees, right? They got some cash. I think it was $100,000, which back then, that's a good, that's a pretty good chunk of change. The Twins got nothing for the modern day version of Babe Ruth, one of the most clutch, ferocious hitters in baseball history. And they just let him go. And he was a pretty good player for the Twins too, but he couldn't stay healthy. So yes, that has, that is a thing. The curse of Big Poppy. I'm definitely on board with this being a
buying
thing.
That. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Corey Larson says, can we talk about how Jared Spurgeon is the hockey version of Kirk Cousins? Jared and Kirk can't get out of the first round. Jared has been here for 8 first round exits by the Wild. I'm not saying he's the problem, but has he proved that he's not? But he has proved he's not a playoff performer. Might be time to move on from both of them.
Oh, this gives Dex and I a great opportunity to plug today's episode of Judd's Hockey Show, which addresses exactly that. It addresses the Wild blue line and, let's just say, the lack of playoff players, and it leads with Jared Spurgeon. So yeah. If you check that out, you are going to get the answer to your question, but that's a very astute point, Declan.
Yeah, it's there's enough sample size, I think, with these Wild defensemen, Spurgeon, Brodin, Dumba, to suggest that these guys just aren't playoff performers. They're not.
It's all about hard work and having fun, boys.
Right, Spurgy?
Hard work and having fun.
Don't even start with me on that one.
Eli Gary says, would love to see some Wild games televised by Score North TV with Anthony LaPanta and Judd Zolgad calling games together.
Oh, God.
How would that dynamic work? Does he even, like, acknowledge you in the press box for all your Bally Sports North shots that you take?
Hi, Judd. I go, hi, Panther.
Hello.
Actually, I don't call him Panther. I just say, hey, Anthony, what's up? No, I did get the death glare from Bramer last week in the press box.
Okay.
Which I think I told you guys about. I walked into the, I guess what you would call the press box cafeteria room, and he was glancing around, shall we say, and he saw me, and I just got a stare. Ordinarily, I get the hi, Judd, and this time I just got the glare.
You know, and
I just glared back. I mean, it was sort of fun.
It is a little uncomfortable sometimes. So Bramer has blocked all of us on Twitter for various reasons. I still contest that mine did not rise to the level of getting the block. But
well, and you got sworn at in DMs.
I never got it. He just like got mad and blocked. But
yeah,
the next season, that was toward the end of the year. And so the next year, this is like 6 months later. And I went to, I think it was the Twins home opener. And I saw Bramer, and we've known each other for like 15 years.
Yeah,
you know, it's just kind of, I think it's just weird to like block someone that you know personally. Yep. So he's sitting in the media cafeteria or whatever, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to walk up and wish him a happy opening day.
Yeah, that's very, yep.
And smile and let him know that you can't block me in person. I'm still here.
Yep.
We're still going to be friendly, okay? And we had a good interaction, and that was that. I didn't get unblocked,
so,
but in person, we're fine.
Well, he probably has forgotten he blocked you, but here's the thing.
I just haven't existed in his world on Twitter.
But here's the thing about that. He definitely knows. So he's got you blocked, but he knows what you're tweeting. And I know that because before the West Coast trip with Plouffe on, I saw him in the press box and I got sort of a cold, hi, Judd. No, hi, Dick. And then when they came back from the coast, I got the death stare. And I think what had transpired was he knew that I was actively tweeting more Plouffe.
Okay. Dick,
please, for the love of God, just set up, you know, Justin and Trevor.
Plouffe was on the, so they're having, and they're including him in a lot of stuff. They'll bring him in for like the post game. So
yeah,
it'd be like California. The split screen. Yep. And he's got, it's the same setup as his John Boy Talking Baseball setup, but he's wearing like a suit and tie from his freaking home studio.
You don't have to wear a tie.
Dude, just don't. I'm not ripping Trevor for this. I'm saying.
Well, and LaPanta wasn't. The last time I saw them together on the split screen.
Deep V or something?
Yeah. LaPanta had on a collared shirt.
Baseball needs to casual it up a little bit more. There's 162 games. It's we're trying to be young, a little bit more, you know, appealing to the younger audience.
A relic of the broad. I mean, it's just not necessary.
All right. I got one more and then we can peace out of here. Appreciate you guys hanging out, by the way. If you could click the subscribe button and the like button on the YouTube channel, you can help us spread the word here. But once again, this is from Mike T. Once again, Jimmy Butler grits and grinds his way to an NBA Finals. The more I observe sports, the more I see the commonality in great teams and players of drive and determination, a fight and a scrap and a claw to the last breath, a winning mentality. That's lacking in Minnesota sports teams and players, in my opinion. KG had it. Puckett had it. I'm sure there's a few more. Brett Favre, AJ Pierzynski,
Herbeck.
Joe Capp, Herbeck, sure.
Herbeck was wired like that.
But we tend to have an aw shucks personality across all of our men's teams.
Yep.
Cat definitely personifies that. Kirk, yep. Right? Here's your assignment for a later date. Name the gritty players through all the years on each Minnesota men's team. You know, we kind of did this in a bracket form like 4 years ago. We did the grittiest Minnesota athletes of all time bracket.
Yep.
Lindsey Whalen, you know. But it is not, yes, it is definitely a thing. Like, how many Wild players would you say are
part of the problem?
Are this
Matthew Tkachuk, right, of the Panthers now, is like that. Like, he wills his team to wins and will just do whatever. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Well, heck, in sports right now, in this town, Edwards could have it eventually. I don't see it totally yet, but he's got that spark. Cat has never had that spark.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very good point. Yeah. It's a great point.
So, all right. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us, engaging in this sparring matchup here. And we're going to hit you later on today with another Mackie and Judd movie review, Jerry Maguire. So keep an eye out for that one. And we're also waiting on Dalvin Cook news, which may or may not happen at some point. So we'll see. All right. Thanks for hanging out with us. Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd.